believe that there is somebody who needs to come back to Jesus Christ. And I believe that there is somebody who needs to be strengthened from the Word of God. So, we encourage you to open your Bibles and let us find in it the things that we need to take us through this life and the future. The subject that is assigned to me on this evening, salvation is in no other name. Or there is salvation in no other name. It might seem to many a very simple subject. But when you particular subject, you ask introduce you this evening to this name. Up before. child was a fisher, who would be able to tell you? You have Luther, he might not be able to tell you. You have Sir Nelson Mandela, and they might not be able to tell you. Child is a lassie, and they might be able to tell you. When a man is in trouble, he doesn't come. He doesn't come to mama. No matter who you are, worship. When you get in trouble, the first name that comes to mind is Jesus.
In the midst they asked, by what power or by what of what name have you done this? Or by what name have you done this? Be known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand here before you whole, this is the stone which was set up not of you builders, is become the head of the corner.
Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen.
That's right. Under heaven, given among men.
me teach you through the Spirit, because I like what the Hebrew writer does with Jesus. Are you with me, church? And I'm going Hebrews chapter 2 for this lesson, because you see, if you're going to talk about Jesus tonight, and they to know, you have what things so and to have salvation, so save Jesus can save you. Look at this. Chapter 2. And I said to Adam, and we need it from that net. And Christ. But number 2. What?
Better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they.
Watch the church. Jump to verse number 13.
But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool?
All right. Watch the church. Look at where we're going with this. In chapter 1 of Hebrews, and verse number 4, the Bible says that Christ was made better than the angels. You see that?
Yeah.
Look at it. Don't lose me now. That Christ is made better than the angels.
Yeah.
But in chapter 2, the Bible says he was made lower than the angels.
That's right.
I don't understand what's happening here. Brother Mitchell, because you see, if we're going to talk about Jesus, who is the Savior, and who is, there's no salvation in no other but the name of Jesus.
That's right.
But here we are, that one chapter says to us that he is better than the angel, and another chapter says he was made lower than the angel. Brother Joe, you're trying to understand something here. I'm trying to understand something. Well, I want to know if the Hebrew writer can answer this question. Why is it that you tell me that he is better than the angels, and now you're telling me that he is made? How do I deal with that? Y'all wake up. How do I deal with that? Well, watch me, church. The Bible says, verses 7 and 8 of Hebrews chapter 2, Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Read. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. How comes? How is it that he was made lower than the angels? Yet, I'm reading that he crowned him with glory and honor. I'm reading that he set him over the works of his hand. I'm reading that he put all things under his authority. Verse number 9.
But we see Jesus.
Watch me. He says,
but we see Jesus, who was made...
Wait, Brother Fisher. Because you got to help me tonight. I told you last night, I don't know English very well. But you got to help me tonight. But we see Jesus. After all that was said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Why? Why?
That's right.
Read, Brother Fisher.
For the suffering of death.
You see that, church? He was made lower than the angels for the suffering
of death.
Of death. Brothers and sisters, Jesus could not save you until he was made a little lower for the suffering of death. Brother Edwards, he had to give up some things to be our Savior. He had to be made a little lower to be your Savior. And that is why salvation cannot be in any other.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Y'all with me, church? Watch me. He had to be made a little lower to be your Savior. And you know why I know, Brother Mitchell? Because Jesus is the only one who was without sin. I guarantee you tonight that everybody else is just too short to be your Savior. Everybody else is just too short. For the Bible says, for all have sinned and come. You're too short to be a Savior tonight. Haile Selassie is too short to be a Savior tonight. Ellen G. White is too short to be a Savior tonight. Martin Luther is too short to be a Savior tonight. Joseph Smith is too short to be a Savior tonight. There is salvation in no other name but in the name of Jesus. The Bible says he was made a little lower than the angels for the reason of suffering of death. If Jesus was made a little lower, Brother Mitchell, he couldn't die for you and I. For the Bible tells us that he left heaven. He gave up his equality with God. He came to earth. He took on the form of man. He became obedient even to the death of the cross, just to be your Savior tonight. He died to save us. He's the only one that has suffered for man's salvation. He's the only one who cried in Matthew chapter 19 and John chapter 19 and verse 30 that it is finished. Man's salvation is paid for. It is finished. He was made a little lower than the angels, all because of the suffering of death. He had to suffer. He had to die so that we can have salvation. Well, not only did the Bible say he was made a little lower than the angels, but you see, he couldn't be my Savior, Brother Mitchell, had he not been crowned with glory and honor. Are you with me, church? Look at what the verse says.
But we see Jesus.
What? We see Jesus.
Who was made a little lower than the angels.
Who was made a little lower than the angels.
For the suffering of death.
For the suffering of death.
Crowned with glory and honor.
With glory
and honor.
And honor. Philippians chapter number 2. Get there with me. Don't lose Hebrews chapter 2 because we're coming back. Philippians chapter 2. And begin reading at verse number 9.
Wherefore,
God also hath highly exalted him.
And given him a name. Which is above every
name. Somebody ought to say amen. That God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above
every name. Every name.
Did y'all hear that? He has given him a name that is above every name. That name that is in the every is included. Haile Selassie is included in the every name. Joseph Smith is included in the every name. And you name him or her, they are included in the every name.
That's right.
And that is why we don't go around calling ourselves names.
Amen.
Amen, somebody. Y'all didn't hear me. Y'all didn't hear me. I said, that's why we don't go around calling ourselves names. And you don't see on our buildings names that represents men. Because he, that God has highly exalted Jesus, and he has given him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus. And no, it's going to be at the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Y'all with me, church? On that great day, it's not going to be any other name.
That's right.
It's going to be at the name of Jesus. The Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.
Of things in heaven.
Of things in heaven.
And things in
and
earth.
And things under the earth.
And that every tongue should confess.
And every tongue should confess
that Jesus Christ
that Jesus
is Lord.
Christ is Lord.
By the glory of God the Father.
By the glory of God the Father. He has given him a name. He has crowned him with glory and honor. Amen, somebody? Crowned him with glory and honor. Let me tell you something. I'm not an American, Brother Mitchell. Y'all know I'm a Jamaican. But I can just imagine how the Americans, the black Americans felt when Obama was declared president of the United States of America. I can just imagine the joy that runs across the United States, especially among the blacks. Yeah, you could see it, you could feel it, even if you were not there, you could hear it. Because of the joy that they felt that one of their own has been highly. Y'all are saying nothing tonight, church. That one of their own has been highly exalted. Can you imagine how the Christians are to be shouting tonight?
Amen.
Because we have a Savior that has been highly exalted. We have a Savior that has been crowned with honor and glory. And we are proud tonight to stand and call the name Jesus.
Amen.
Crowned with honor and glory. I can just imagine the joy. The Christian's joy should be in Christ, knowing that he has been highly exalted. And that is why we can echo the sentiments of the Apostle Peter. Neither is there salvation in any other name than in the name of Jesus. I'm glad tonight that he who has been crowned with honor and glory is on my side. I'm proud tonight. I am glad tonight that I can stand in this place and declare to you tonight, Jesus, who has been crowned with honor and glory, who has been highly exalted. I'm glad tonight that I'm a part of this family. But you see, while he was crowned with honor and glory, and while he has been highly exalted, why he was made a little lower than the angels. You know, church, had it not been for Jesus, I don't know where I'd be tonight. Had it not been for Jesus, y'all just have so much to give thanks for. See, you see, the Christian have enough confidence. You see, I don't know about any other. Because, you see, when the Christian goes to bed at night, we know who we know. And even though we don't know what tomorrow brings or what tomorrow holds, we know who holds tomorrow. And you can confidently say that he's our Savior. I don't know anybody else to call when I'm going through my difficult times. Hello, somebody. I told you last night that when you're having a wrestling match with your pillow at night, you really don't know who else to call on. But Fisher, if your head hurt you, Jesus. Yeah. Amen, somebody. Yeah. I mean, some people who said that they don't believe in God, and as soon as trouble take them, God, Jesus, because of who he is. And may I suggest tonight that without him, you are absolutely nothing. Yeah, without him, you are nothing. Yeah, Brother Solomon being rude. No, I'm not being rude. I'm telling you the truth. Because without him, you are nothing. Look at verse again. Look at verse again. Hebrews chapter 2. Get back there with me. Because I'm not done with that. I'm trying to wrap this verse up. Because in this one verse, there is just so much in this one verse that tells you so much about who we're talking about tonight. Look at what he says, Brother Fisher.
But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man.
Let me ask you the question tonight: who else tasted death for everybody? Who else tasted death for everybody? I wouldn't even want to die for my own child. Much more you. We have a little joke at home. Where my wife would ask me, if something happened, would you take the death from me? And I always say, honey, my love is an undying love. But Jesus did for us what we should have gotten for ourselves. We were destined to die. I told you last night that we were under God's impending wrath. We were destined to die. But the Bible says this Jesus tasted death for every man. Tasted death for every man. Brother Blake, he tasted death for you, and he tasted death for me. And I want somebody in this audience tonight to know, if you're not a Christian, that Jesus tasted death for you. Look, take this thing personal, no?
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, take it personal. Forget about everybody else inside here and take it personal tonight, sir. Because Jesus died for me. I'm going to take it personal. He tasted death for me. Tasted death for me. Long ago it was predicted, prophesied, Isaiah 53. And I want to go to this passage because I want to show you something quickly. I'm almost done. But I want to show you something quickly in this passage. Isaiah 53. Talking about their salvation in no other. It's got to be Jesus. It's got to be Jesus. Yeah. Begin reading.
Who has believed our report? And the proof is arm of the Lord revealed. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs.
Take your time. Because here are some words that I need you to pay attention to. Surely he has borne
our griefs.
Our griefs.
And carried our sorrows.
He has carried our sorrows.
Yet we did esteem him stricken.
Smitten of God and afflicted.
But he was wounded for our transgression.
Our transgression. How many times have we gone with our? Three times so far. Read.
He was bruised for our iniquity.
For our iniquity.
The
chastisement of our peace,
was upon
him.
And with his stripes,
we are healed.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him
the
iniquity of us all.
He was oppressed.
And he was afflicted.
Uh-huh.
Yet he opened not his mouth.
Read.
He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter.
Uh-huh.
And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb.
All right, Brother Fisher. Well, watch me. Because so far what we have seen, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times, so far I'm going to mention that the personal pronoun is used in the text. You know what it suggests to me, Brother Grinnell? That all that Jesus did was for us. All that Jesus did was for us. All the suffering that he went through was not for himself, but all of it was for us. All of it. And I want you to take it personal tonight. All of it was for you. It was for you.
Were we called,
uh-huh.
Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps.
Look at verse number 22.
Who did no sin.
Did no sin.
Neither was guile found
in his mouth.
Who when he was reviled,
reviled not again.
When he suffered,
he threatened not.
But committed
himself. The songwriter, listen. The songwriter penned it beautifully. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. When he suffered, he threatened not. Breathe.
But committed himself to him that
judges righteously.
Who is own self.
In his own body. But we are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls.
Brethren, I'm glad tonight that he saved us from our sins. I'm glad tonight that he is the only one that can save us from our sins. And for the Christians tonight, we can truly say that we are glad that he did it, because in doing so, Jesus became my redeemer. In doing so, he became my counselor. In doing so, he became my advocate. In doing so, he became my mediator. And I'm glad tonight, because he's my bridge over troubled waters. Hello, somebody. He's my bread when I'm hungry. He's my water when I'm thirsty. I'm glad tonight that there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. I'm glad tonight. The question is, do you know him tonight? Do you know him? Because if you don't, then you will not understand what I'm talking about when I say I'm glad tonight. Hello. You will not understand what I'm talking about when I say I'm glad tonight. You will not understand when I tell you he's my bridge over troubled waters. You won't understand that. You won't understand. But I'm glad you're here tonight. So that you can know him whom to know is life eternal. Yeah. Mama can't save you. Papa can't save you. Your husband can't save you. Your wife can't save you. Haile Selassie can't save you. None of them can save you. Only Jesus Christ
can save you tonight. And don't you know that he will? Don't you know that he will? I tell you something tonight. He stands with wide open arms. He beckons you to come. He pleads with you to come. The Christians are here tonight, and we say to you, come. Come. Often, when you stand on the outside, you don't know what is happening on the inside. Because you're outside. But guess what? Jesus says, there's a space for you.
Amen.
On the inside.
Amen.
There's a place for you right here. He says, come and occupy it. Because it is reserved for you. And Michelle, you know one thing that I learned? I learned that when I go to some places, I drive in. It's a big parking lot. But I always observe where I'm parking.
That's right.
Because there are some signs that says reserved.
That's right.
Amen, somebody. Yeah, there are some signs that says reserved.
Yeah.
And I don't want to park in the reserve parking area. And then I have to go down to the pound to pick up my vehicle.
That's right.
So I look around and I observe where I'm parking. Hello, church. I'm trying to tell you that there's a space reserved for you in the kingdom of God. And Jesus Christ, the Savior, is saying to you tonight, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There is a space reserved for you. And all he invites you to do is to come and occupy that space. You remember when Jesus was about to leave, and the disciples started to worry, Brother Mitchell, what will happen? Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in my Father's house, many mansions. Get me that passage, John 14, because I want to look at verse number 6 quickly. You there yet? Read it for me.
From verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled.
Read.
You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am,
there
you may be also.
Read.
And whither I go, you know,
and
the way you
know.
Uh-huh. Thomas said unto him, Lord.
Y'all know who Thomas is? Yeah. Doubter.
Yeah.
Thomas said, unless we see it and feel it. Yeah. Thomas is doubt. So Thomas said,
Lord, we know not whither thou goest.
We know not where you go.
And how can we know
and
the way?
How can we know the way?
Jesus
well,
said unto
well,
him.
Well, Brother Fisher, well, I believe somebody in this audience tonight is asking, how can I know the way? Brother Edwards, there are so many ways.
That's right.
There are so many ways. When you check it out today in the religious world, there are just so many ways. Thomas asked the question, how can I know
the way?
Somebody is trying to find the way tonight. Which suggests to me in the text, Brother Fisher, that there is only one way.
That's right.
You notice what he asked specifically. Amen. How can I know the way?
Amen.
Right. Thomas said, Jesus says,
I am the way.
I.
The way.
Did I say enough tonight, Brother Mitchell?
That's right. Yes.
I am the way. You want to find the way tonight? Find Jesus.
Amen.
Find Jesus tonight and you will find the way.
That's right.
That's why the Christians can sing, I'm in the way, that bright and shining way, because we have found the way. Is there somebody here tonight who needs to know the way? Come to Jesus tonight. Come believing. Come repenting. Come confessing that sweetest name on mortal tongue. And come and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins tonight. And then you will be on your way to that glory land.
Heaven is a place that is prepared and ready for those who have prepared themselves. Why don't you do that tonight? Why don't you do that?
Why don't you do that tonight? And even before we begin to sing the invitation song, because I don't want you to act on your emotions tonight. I really don't want you to act on your emotions tonight. I want you to walk from where you are tonight.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
I want you to walk from where you are tonight. Not at the invitation of Brother Solomon, but at God's invitation. He extends an invitation to you, and he says to you, come. The Spirit and the Bride says, come. Why don't you do that tonight? Even before we even begin to sing the invitation song. Is there an honest heart here tonight who know that I need Jesus, I need the Savior. I have been looking for this way long enough. I've been looking for this Savior long enough.
Amen.
Is there just one person? Who will that honest individual be tonight? I know I'm a sinner. I know I stand in need of a Savior. And I don't want tonight to pass without making it right with God. Who is that person tonight? If you're afraid of walking forward, raise your hand. I'll come and walk with you. Give me your hand. Give God your heart. Who is that person tonight? Who is that person? Stand to your feet, please.